Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Question Reality. I'm Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, our show is going to help you question your career reality. Now, this show is for you if you are considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests will provide advice on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in the entertainment industry. Now, our guests include Emmy winners, Grammy winners, Tony winners, reality TV stars, producers, directors, actors, singers, casting directors, talent agent, talent managers, and it goes on and on and on. If they are working professionally in show business, we are definitely going to have them on this show to give you entertainment career advice. And we make sure that our guests are at various stages of their careers, from professionals to beginners. So that means that we will definitely have someone on the show who will be able to help you with your show business career questions. Now, you can listen to any of our past shows by going to our archive page of the LA Talk Radio website. So just go to latalkradio.com, channel one link, drop down box, and you just click Question Reality, and this takes you directly to our archive page. And that is where you will listen to all of our shows. We've been on the air since 2008, and we have a fabulous lineup of all different types of careers in the entertainment industry. We're also available online at iTunes and Stitcher.com. So just go there and type in the search box, Question Reality Radio. Now, if you want to find out about our future guest, you have to visit our official website, which is a totally different website. It's QuestionRealityRadioShow.com. QuestionRealityRadioShow.com. And we are always booked 6 months to a year in advance. So right now we are booked until March. But if you go to the website and you submit, if you're working professionally in the industry, then we would love to review you and possibly have you on the show. And I also encourage you to download our free app. It's new and it's for Android and iPhone, and you'll be able to listen to all of the other exciting and informative shows on LA Talk Radio. So just go to the homepage and it's down towards the right hand side. And it is just wonderful. As a matter of fact, the show before ours, I forget the name of it, oh goodness gracious, but was the lovely lady, one of many ladies that was on the Brady Bunch. Her name is Susan Olson, and she has a show here. So if you are a Brady Bunch fan, I encourage you to go to the LA Talk Radio website and check out her show. Again, comes on right before mine. Now, you are in for a treat today because you are going to be getting entertainment career advice from two successful, well-respected professionals in show business entertainment. First guest, Mary Lou Belli. Yes, yes, she gets applause, special track just for her. She's been a guest on our show several times, and we always get so many emails talking about how she gave such sage advice to everyone. So we just bring her back whenever she's available. It's hard to get her on, but she comes. She's so nice. And she is a two-time Emmy Award-winning director and author of three books, the sitcom career book, Acting for Young Actors, and the second edition of the highly sought after and extremely respected book, Directors Tell the Story, Master of the Craft, Master of the Craft of Television and Film Directing. Again, second edition. And it's also co-authored by Bethany Rooney. And they are all available right now on Amazon.com. So I suggest going there and getting one because they are fantastic books. And you don't find too many books on directing that are by an actual two-time Emmy Award winning director. So you gotta go check it out. Now, Mary Lou Belli has been directing for over 20 years, and some of her credits include NCIS New Orleans, Monk, Devious Maids, Heart of Dixie, Wizards of Waverly Place, Sister Sister, Charles in Charge, Girlfriends, Living with Fran, one of my favorites, Eve, and The Game. And she has done groundbreaking work in the field of web series, which I want to talk about extensively today. Her first two web series were both award winners, and Mary Lou also lectures at universities and film schools all over the country and continues to teach privately. This woman has so much energy. I don't know. I need to like knock her out and get her DNA and like synthesize it or do something. She has sitcom career classes, and I can personally tell you that if you ever get the chance to take a class with Mary Lou Belli, it would be in your very best interest to take this class. They are extremely informative and very intensive, and they are chock full of set tips and little tweaks to enhance your performance tenfold. And what I love is she brings in professionals at the end of the class, like script supervisors and talent managers and other directors, and they really provide invaluable information that you really wouldn't get just by reading a book. So, highly recommend Mary Lou Belli's class. Go to her website, marylubelli.com, or check her out on IMDb. Our second guest is the sexy, sultry, mesmerizing, one of the extremely rare, naturally redheaded actresses in the world, actress producer Sandra Curry. Yes, and Sandra Curry has starred in well over 110 television shows, which include NCIS, Secret Life of the American Teenager, ER, JAG, Seventh Heaven, Touched by an Angel, Family Matters, Murder, She Wrote, Cheers, Magnum PI, Golden Girls, Three's Company, Tyler Perry's Love Thy Neighbor on the Oprah Winfrey Network, and the list goes on and on and on and on. But you perhaps best know Sandra Curry for her role as Linda Gardner, Alan, who is played by Zach, and Lord knows I can't pronounce his last name. I give it a whirl. Galifianakis. Probably not. Zach's mom on one of the biggest comedy franchises of all time, The Hangover Trilogy. Yay! Woo! She is here. And during the career advice portion of our show today, we are going to be doing this interview a little differently. Now I know why the repeat questions were on there, Sandra Curry, because I completely forgot what I did. Sandra Curry and Mary Lou Belli, who are longtime friends, so we are going to be surprising them by asking them both to ask each other questions that they would feel would be most beneficial to know when pursuing a career in their respective field. So, how fun is that going to be? Look, Sandra's like, oh, shit. What? What's going on? That gets... Thank you. Thank you. So, without further ado, let's welcome Mary Lou Belli and Sandra Curry.
Hello. Yay. Hi, everyone.
Yes. Oh, my God. These two. They're like, oh, she sprung it on me. What? Now, we talked about this before, but remember, Sandra, there are many more. I'm now up to 137,000 followers, so we've had more people who didn't hear your show last time. And I think we should just briefly touch upon how you ended up getting your SAG card, because I hear some crazy stories about how people get their SAG card from having to do the casting couch to doing more honorable things, like actually working. But you, as a matter of fact, have a very interesting story. You had a neighbor. Well, what I find interesting is that you always knew you wanted to be an actress, but you also had another ambition. You wanted to be a race car driver, and you found that you had a neighbor who was a race driving enthusiast, and it turned out to be Howard Hawks. And he's the one that ended up putting you... See, Mary Lou's like, what? I didn't know this. Ended up putting you in the film Rio Lobo with John Wayne.
That's right.
How the hell does that happen? Now, did you know... Was he Howard Hawks when you knew him? Or was he just like a
star?
Yeah,
no, he was still Howard Hawks. Okay. But I didn't really know how prominent he was. My mother did, though.
Okay. Who was also an actress.
Yes. Yes, she was an actress. And I knew that he was making a new film, and I really did meet him in the elevator. That's all true. And so he said he was going to put me in this film. I'm kind of cutting to the chase.
Yeah.
And he did. He used to write all of his scripts longhand, so all that you get all the pages longhand. This is one with John Wayne. And the fun thing about this story is I think it's probably well known that he had very sultry women in most of his films, Lauren Bacall, of course, for one. And so he wanted me to lower my voice, but it wasn't a normal kind of way of lowering your voice. It really naturally would harm your vocal cords. But I would go up from the top of the building. It's actually the Sunset Tower. It's still on Sunset. And on the very top, and ho, 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 ho.
What? What a great story.
It's a true story. And then, of course, you had very certain ways of walking and all that. Anyway, I learned a lot from him. So it was a great entry. I did the film, and I ended up with, I think, 45 seconds, maybe a minute on the thing. But it was a scene with John Wayne and a Mexican actor named Jorge Rivera. And I remember John Wayne coming up to me and introducing himself and sticking out his hand and going, "How do you do? I'm John Wayne." And I burst out laughing.
Wow.
I said, "I know. I'm Sandy Curry." That's a true story.
Now, you said that most of your work ended up on the cutting room floor, but it was just the beginning. So can you elaborate on how one shouldn't get discouraged when that happens? Because a lot of people do scenes. Like, for example, there was a show, a sitcom, and it's the guy who always writes those little things at the end. He's got every sitcom there is. Do you know who I'm talking about? Chuck Lorre, yes. And there was an actress, and she had a very large scene in 3 and a Half Men. And it ended up being cut completely. Mm-hmm. But he is such a nice person, I would imagine. At the end, he writes these little things, and he said to the world that she did a fabulous job. He's sorry, but cuts have to be made. And he said, "I will definitely be calling you back for a part." And he put that, which is forever cemented, on the end of an episode. So I thought, that is fantastic. So she must have been so bummed when her scene got cut. So tell us how you just be. She ended up getting work because he did hire her.
But see, that's the point. The thing is, as we are longer in this business and get slightly more chronologically progressed, you really realize that there are no accidents. So even if something's cut, you have the energy of that involvement, and you really, I mean, sometimes things are cut. They end up on the editing room floor, and there, you never waste your time, though.
That's right.
There's a pearl in everything. And someone will remember you, i.e. Chuck. He said he'd call her back. So yeah. I think that you just celebrate each day the way it evolves and move forward. You have to be passionate.
And I think it's essential not to take it personally.
That's a really good point.
It's definitely not personally. It's 90% of the time, it's about the story. It's about time. It's about not your performance, but the greater whole. And when you bring that energy of wanting to contribute to the greater whole and not taking it personally, then you're the person they want to come back to and hire again.
Right. Now, you as a director, Mary Lou, has that ever happened where you've worked on a show and you work with an actor and you thought, wow, that actor did a great job, and their part got cut and you said, oh, that's a shame, because that really...
Yeah, I will sometimes tell that actor and say, listen, don't take this personally. It wasn't you. We loved your performance. That's why, you know, this had to happen. But please, 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 no. You know, because people beat themselves up, and that's so destructive. And you want to say, don't beat yourself up. Pat yourself on the back, because I'll remember this as someone who contributed, you know, very fruitfully to this episode, even though it might not have gotten into the final cut.
Yeah,
that's great advice. And I have one other story to tell you apropos of that.
I love it.
I was doing Golden Girls, and I had auditioned for them over and over again. And finally, they said, there's something coming up. You're just right for this. And it was Big Daddy, who was Ro's father.
Yes.
Is marrying this young woman, who was moi. And
I remember that episode. That was you.
And, you know, it's on a lot. People still come up to me after that episode. But it originally was an enormous guest role. And you know, in a half hour, you don't really have that many big, big scenes. And we went in for the read-through, and there was a hush over the room when we finished, and everybody was released, and I'm still thinking, oh, la-di-da, this is great. And then the next day I came in, and the bulk of what I had to do was rewritten and given to Big Daddy. So I'm going, what happened? I was devastated. I mean, devastated. This was so early. This is in the 80s, and it was so early in my career that I was heartbroken. I thought, what did I do? And the director, David Steinberg, said, I'm going to take you out to lunch. And he did. And he explained to me exactly what you're saying. He said, this has nothing to do with you. I think it was Roe, actually, that was the one that said, we don't need a young woman on this show. Truthfully, she's gone. I wish you could counter that, if indeed she did not say that. But people said, you should get a hair commercial from this.
That is true.
Because they were on the back of me so often in all of my scenes.
And David has always been a very generous man that way. He was one of my teachers, and he's just a great, great guy.
He is. That's great to know. I'd like to see him again.
Now, you went on to star in numerous features, and two that I want to talk about, Jesse's Girl, because they became cult favorites, Police Women in Concrete Jungles. Now, what you referred to them as slice and dice movies, I have never heard that term. What is a slice and dice film? Mary Lou?
Don't know.
There
I'm going to have to
Mary Lou and
Sandra
I
explain
were
it to
all
both
learning
of us.
Today.
Oh
what
gosh.
Is that?
It's just the terminology for the movies that were made in those days for a lot of drive-in movies. The genre was all karate, chopping, girls bouncing, kicking on, and creaming other guys and whatnot. I mean, it was really empowerment to girls. Jesse's Girls was supposed to be a female Clint Eastwood character in Fistful of Dollars.
Oh.
Yeah. So a lot of the shots were ripped off almost completely from Fistful of Dollars, with the stogie in the mouth and all the and coming around the barn and all that. Oh, my gosh.
Did you do your own stunts?
Yes. I did do a lot of my own stunts.
You know, I ask her this because she's in great shape.
Yes.
And I'm going, she probably was just like the athletic one that said, oh, I can do this. And probably knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, a lot of females did their own stunts back then. There wasn't so much structure with insurance and things
exactly
like that.
That's exactly true. And everybody would say they could do anything. I did say I could ride a motorcycle one time, and I was put in a bikini on a beach. And I fell.
And it wasn't a James Caan.
Yeah, that was a big ow. Still living at home with my mom. That was a big ow.
But I will warn people, it's not a very smart idea to lie about your skill set. So if you say on your resume that you have, if you can ride a horse, ride a motorcycle, drive a stick shift, you really should be able to do it.
She's
or learn
exactly
within
right.
3 hours.
Yeah, she's absolutely right.
That
That's really
so
good
true.
Information.
That is so true. I remember I got cast for a role on Pushing Daisies, and all I was supposed to do, because I try to just choose things where there's like one word or one line, because forget it, if there are two, I can't memorize it. But I was just supposed to be like a featured extra, and the director said, can you drive a car? And I said, oh, yeah, I can drive a car. He said, well, can you just back this car up? So I get in the car and I'm ready to do my scene. I'm like, I can do it. I can back a car up. No memorizing lines. And I got in the car. And as soon as I sat in the car, the damn tire popped and the whole car went crashing down in the car. And he left the scene in. He left it in. So if you ever see that, that's me.
I loved that show.
Yeah, that was a great scene.
That's
now,
funny.
Yeah, because you never know. I mean, maybe I couldn't have driven a car, but he liked that part and left it in. Now, you said that learning on your feet is not always easy, and you discovered what it meant to be a survivor in Hollywood. What are some things that you still remember about first learning when you came out here and you were pursuing your career that still stays with you today of how you need to be a survivor? What were some things?
Well, first of all, I was raised here, so I didn't have to come out here.
Ah.
So I was raised in the industry one way or the other.
Mm.
And I think maintaining a positive attitude is really, really important. I'm not sure we all know that in the beginning. I got really lucky early on, which in a way was great, but at the same time, once I started getting knocked down a few times, it's not so easy to pick yourself up and dust yourself off. So I think you have to really realize if you're in it for the long term. If you just want to be famous, go do something else. And so if you love the business of the business, which I did not love the business of the business, but I loved the work, then you keep working and you keep working and you put one foot in front of the other and you can't look back. So we create everything that we do every single day. So I think early on, I had some really wonderful people and teachers and Mary Lou later. That would give me really great pearls. And I think you need to have people like that in your life.
I also think that very much to your credit, you always continue studying.
Oh.
And it's so important to not because you don't know your craft already, but in many cases, there might be a role that you haven't tried that kind of character before. Mm-hmm. And if you've done it in class or challenged yourself with a big role, even from a famous playwright like Tennessee Williams or Arthur Miller or Eugene O'Neill, and you go, oh my gosh, I know who that character is because when I'm asked to do even three lines on a movie or a film where it's very important that everything is there in that very brief moment, you can deliver.
Thank you. She's right, though. I do agree with her there. And I think that that's when I mentioned to you the Actors Studio before, because that's completely saved my life in that respect, because you can really get there. You can work. There are classes going on every single day. You've got Marty Landau and Lou Antonio and Mark Rydell, wonderful teachers here
and Shelley
in New
Winters
York.
Back
Shelley,
in the day.
Shelley, of course, yeah. In New York, it's Ellen Burstyn and Al Pacino and Harvey Keitel. They are really, it's a disciplined place, which is great. And you can explore, and everybody encourages you. It's a safe environment, so that's really good. I don't think you ever stop studying.
I agree. And I don't think there's a day I go on the set and I don't learn something. So it's not just something for actors. It's something for directors or writers or anyone in the business. If you are open to what can I learn today, how is today going to be new and different, and every actor you work with, sometimes, there's a new actor every time, you go, what's special about them? And when you discover that, you go, oh, I can discover that in other people.
I have to say something about Mary Lou.
Yes.
I have to share this because she really is a very, very successful director now, and she's breaking doors where doors have been nailed shut for years. But one of the things that you did, which I so respected, she shadowed directors, both half-hour directors and hour directors, every single day, all day long. For years you were doing that. Different types of shows. She made friends. She was diligent. And they really realized how talented she was. And even, not to speak about you in third person, but
she's here.
Yeah, she's here. That was great.
How were you able to do that, Mary Lou? Because not everybody can say, hey, I want to be a director one day. Can I shadow you? How does one do that?
First of all, I think you have to earn it. And I think no one is going to, welcome you unless they see that you're serious. And I've always generated work myself. Or if I wasn't being given an opportunity to direct in television or film, I would go out and I would be doing theater work all the time. And then the more you produce product and people know that you're serious. So even when I was on a show and I wasn't directing but I was coaching, I would be doing shot lists, as if I were directing. And then when someone, looks over your shoulder and they're the director of the show and they go, oh, that's a lot of homework she did. She didn't have to do that. But, oh, she really wants to get better at this. And then most people's nature is to be giving. And when someone knows that you are going to value what they can teach you, then, their hearts open up and their knowledge opens up to you.
Mary Lou.
Mary Lou.
Mary Lou Bella. not everybody. Ideally, everybody would love to take classes, but... unfortunately, a lot of people don't have the money to take every single class that they need. For people who are limited with their money, that are out here and they have to work maybe two jobs to just take a class because they're pretty expensive, what do you tell a first-time actor which class to take? Because they're confused. There's the method, there's Meisner, there's this, there's that. How do you know? Because you want to spend your hard-earned money on the right class. And a lot of people take classes and they're very disappointed. Is there anything you can tune into yourself to say, oh, well, I think I'm more method or I think I'm more Meisner? What do you do?
First of all, trust your gut. First, you should always ask if you can audit a class. Look at the quality of the work in the class. And if you say, I believe that actor, I find that teacher nurturing and quite on the money with their direction or adjustments. And then I also have another suggestion. If you really can't afford a class or a master class with someone who can give something to you, you know, and you're an actor, pick six other actors who you think are really, really good and start a co-op. Mm-hmm. You know, you could, you know, probably pool together $2 each and find a space that you can rent for, you know, $15 for an hour, and you have a space to work in, or use one of your living rooms and take responsibility for bringing material. You know, because most actors, you know, are getting sides all the time, you have access to material, so you should be practicing your craft whether someone is paying you to do it or not. And if you can't afford to be in a class, you should create one for yourself.
And a lot of actors do that now. There are several different people that I know that have organized those groups. Another place that you can go where it's not so expensive, you have to audition to get in there, though, is Theater West. Theater West we're both members of Theater West, and they do have classes. They have beginning classes on Saturdays, and then they have some during the week. They're not as intensive as, say, like the Actors Studio or Uta's, any Sandy Meisner, all the disciples of those people, Larry Moss. But nevertheless, you have a place that you can go and do scenes, and they do several productions, so you can audition for the production, so you get that expertise. They also you can stage manage there. You can learn a lot there, and it's very nominal in dollar-wise.
And also, then you have an acting family. You have people who will support you. You have people who will share information with you. You know, when you say come out here, Sandra was lucky enough to live here, but, you know, I had to move here from somewhere else. And when you don't know people and then you instantly have a family, it makes it so much easier.
Mm-hmm. 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 That is true. Now, let's talk about, oh, my gosh, Sandra. Okay. Hangover, one of my favorite trilogies. That intervention scene, because I just saw it again for like the fourth time. That intervention scene with you was one of the funniest scenes ever, right, Mary Lou?
She's always funny when she needs to be.
I mean, yeah. I found my eye. It was an intervention, so there were many, many people, obviously. But my eye kept going, what is she going to do next? My eye went to you.
Oh, that's it.
It went
Thank
to you. Probably because, I had interviewed you. I'm like, oh, let me go back. But I found that I was wanting to know what your next move was going to be.
Oh, that's
so
great.
That's very important. Can you tell us any funny stories about, you know, your preparation, or what did you think of your role, or anything that you could share about working on such a huge film? Because you were in all three.
Yes,
right?
I was.
So not many people are in a trilogy, right, Mary?
Absolutely not.
First of all, I got lucky to be in it, I thought, you know, and really when I first went on that audition, it was another one of those things that seemed like it was very small, and they said, you don't have to go if you don't want to go, and I said, I had a little bit of a sixth sense with that one, and we all did it for hardly any money at that time. No one was a star, but everybody really got along, and I found out Bradley was a studio person, Bradley Cooper, so we had a lot to talk about, and Zach was hysterical. He was always funny, and so from that standpoint, we were just lucky. The director, Todd Phillips, is very loyal. He's a genius, I think. I mean, I think he's really great. I just think he's phenomenal, and he's very loyal. And the thing that, as it evolved, and of course, the guys that mainly got so famous, by the time that we did the third one, there was no script that they gave us. You were getting pages here and there, you know, like Spielberg did. So, and that particular scene was great fun, because by then, Todd and Zachy know one another's rhythms. So though Todd sticks to the script for the most part, with Zach, he'll let him riff. So watching Zach take off, I mean, the hardest thing was trying to keep focused and going, oh my God, what is he going to do now? And the whole tipping over of the glass and stuff, it was...
So that wasn't written in. That was just, oh, isn't that great?
And you also know your characters by that point.
That's
and,
true.
And more than that, you have a director who trusts you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when you can say, let it fly, because mm-hmm. you know that the characters understand this, the actors understand their characters and the situation they're in, and then you're just part of the storytelling process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And do you, what about, do you stay in touch with anyone on the set or?
The only person that I've actually been in touch with was Bradley outside of, and I haven't seen him in, I saw him at the premiere, so that's 3 years ago. And prior to that, I'd seen him a couple of different times at screenings. He had screenings for the studio for Silver Linings. And Zach, I haven't seen. Ken Jeong, I keep more in touch with on the internet.
Yeah. He's got a new sitcom.
He sure does.
Dr. Ken.
Yeah.
He's fabulous. Very funny.
What a great guy
very
he is.
Very funny. So you stay in touch with them, but one of the things we want to point out is that when you are a beginning actor or, an unknown actor yet, you don't want to go up and ask them for autographs and pictures.
Mm-mm.
And I have several friends who are actors, and all of a sudden, like every other week, I see pictures of them on social media, and they're taking pictures with the stars. So they keep working continuously. So my question is, Mary Lou and Sandra, is that appropriate? I wouldn't do it. I'd be too scared to do it.
In fact, on a set, I think that you have to find out, and you have to do what I call taking the temperature of the room. You should not approach somebody until they approach you. You have to think of it as if you've been invited to someone's house. And you have to treat them like a family would. And if you're not part of that family, wait to be invited mm-hmm. into that family. Mm-hmm. Now, those people who are posting on social media, perhaps they've been invited to that family. And they've been, someone says, yeah, I'd love to take a picture with you. But I wouldn't assume it's ever okay until you've taken the temperature.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you feel
advice.
The same way?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Now, let's talk about something exciting. Recently, I don't know if you finished this, but you were on the set of the zombie flick spoof called Fat Ass Zombies. I should have been in that
zombies.
One. Why
oh
was I
God.
Not in Fat Ass Zombies? I think I could be cast for that one. So what tell us what it's about?
Well, it was a wild kind of thing how that came about. Originally, it was... brought to me with the idea of me and my good friend Lonnie Anderson doing these two characters, Becky and Ecky. So
Becky and Ecky.
So that I thought, oh, that's great fun. That would be so much fun. But they were shooting in Texas. Long story short, we went to France, and Lonnie's husband was on tour in Japan, and he caught a bug. And he came home, and he couldn't shake the bug. And so, obviously, she was very worried about him. And plus, by then, the budget on the film had diminished. So they really couldn't afford either one of us. Not that I was so expensive,
right.
But anyhow. So it went away. And then all of a sudden, they got more money. There were more investors in the thing. So they called me on a Monday and said, might you still be interested in this? But the Becky role had pretty much gone away. They cast it with a black actress out of Dallas. So I went, yeah, there was something about it. Zombies are in.
Yeah,
they certainly are.
Oh. I bet. Well, I loved the title. I loved the title. I loved the story, as my friend Will Wallace told me. And
is it a feature
sure.
or
it's
short?
It's a feature. Okay. It's a feature. And this director out of New York, his name is George Bennett. It's his first feature. He's actually a marketing wizard. And he was fantastic. He was so easy to be around. And he created such camaraderie on the set that everybody was willing. They had a terrific crew. It was in... outside Dallas. Where did I tell you? Oh, shoot.
Fort Worth?
No, it's a C. Oh, it'll come to me. Shoot. Because it's about an hour and a half outside of Dallas. It's about two blocks long and two blocks wide. I can't believe
Corpus Christi.
No, it's not a place you would know. It's Oh, it'll come to me. I'll try to find it when you're talking. And I was there 5 days, and it was a phenomenal experience. It was just really
so
fun.
So what stage is it in now?
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's completed a shooting, and so the director is direct. You know, it's what you do. It's in the film process now. But I think it's got a really good chance. The zombies look great. The makeup looked fabulous. The car crashes were authentic and wonderful.
Sci-fi will pick it up for sure. They put Everett Sharptopia.
Are you allowed to say whether you're a zombie?
Oh. You know, maybe I shouldn't say that.
I don't know.
Okay. I shouldn't say whether or not
Well, let me
I'm a
ask
zombie.
Another leading question. How long were you in makeup?
Well, I don't know. That's a leading question because maybe I take a long time.
That's right.
With someone as beautiful as you.
So we can expect it out sometime.
I think so.
Within
I think
the
got
next
a really
year.
Good or year. Chance. It's got really, I mean, the guy, as I say, who directed it, George, he's marketing. I think that he's got a lot to work with, and the people are really good.
Okay. And what other exciting projects? Because I know you and your husband, Mr. Levi, you have a production company. Oh, it's a Levi, L-E-V-I. Okay. It could be Levi.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right.
I just ruined Zach's name, but Levi.
Okay. Galifianakis.
Thank you. Oh, my goodness. So you have a production company, and are you doing anything together or any exciting projects come on?
He is. He's developing a couple of projects that actually sound very interesting together. I don't know if it's something that I can talk about at the moment, but he's always got things going on that are...
He directed you in many... I was looking on IMDb, and he directed you in a lot of the sitcoms.
He's a phenomenal director.
Not sitcoms. He's an hour director.
Hour director.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I did a lot of things with him, maybe 12 or 13 or 14. I've lost track, but he's fabulous. The worst thing about him directing me is because I got so dependent on him because he knew how far I could go, and he just would say, let's talk about this. And he was very protective, so that when I worked for other directors and I'd say, I'm not sure about this, and they'd go, no, cut print. So it was a different kind of a thing. The other thing, though, that I wanted to share with you is that both of us, I told you about California Independent Film Festival, and also there's a talk show that I'm developing with my friend Pam McMahon called By Your Bootstraps. Mm. And it's really about women who have hit the... Well, when I say hit the skids, I'm talking about women who have had full affluent lives and the rugs pulled out from them one way or the other, and rebuilding yourself and rebuilding your self-worth. And she's come up with 16 steps on how to do that. And there are women all over the country that are trying to do that. So from that standpoint, she's been there and been through it and is doing great. So I think that there's a real market for that.
Is this a reality show?
Yeah, it'll be more of a talk show reality show, half hour. It's almost like divine reinvention.
Okay.
I also love the idea of women helping other women.
I do too. I think that's the real plus there.
That's wonderful. Well, we can hopefully, maybe you can update me on that, and we can let people know what channel that'll be on cable.
Yeah.
Mary Lou, we briefly spoke out in the lobby. I have to talk about this. First of all, I want to tell you how much I enjoyed watching the episode of Devious Maids entitled Sweeping with the Enemy. It was one of my favorites, but you actually did War on Greece too. Was it War on Greece? Right, I remember episode titles, especially when they're really clever. I wonder who comes up with those titles.
The writers.
Okay, so whoever writes the episode, they're the one that comes up with it.
Yeah, and then you have to read the episode and go, why did they call it this? And then when you do, you go, that's very clever.
I'm telling you, if you have not watch Devious Maids, you are missing out. It was developed by Mark Cherry, I believe, from Desperate Housewives, right?
Correct. And Golden Girls.
And Golden Girls. See, I did not know that. And it's Devious Maids. You've got to watch this. It's hysterical. This particular episode that I want to talk about, Mary Lou directed, Mary Lou Belli, Sweeping with the Enemy. And it was one of my favorites because I'm obsessed with Rebecca Wasaki. I think that woman, she has absolutely brilliant comedic timing and her body movements. I mean, her instincts, her gestures. I don't know if you had anything to do with this episode. She's just really good in everything, right?
Rebecca just brings brilliance with her. And she comes completely prepared and has wonderful creative ideas. And then you just give her someone to act opposite her that's equally talented. And in this case, we have our four brilliant devious maids.
Right.
Or, you know, guest stars sometimes. And you just let them fly.
Wow.
You know, and she's eminently directable and very creative and collaborative at the same time.
You have to, if you don't watch any other episode, watch this particular one, Sweeping with the Enemy. There is a line on there, and I hope I get it right, but she's playing opposite the character Marisol. And she says how she's a rich woman, and her husband's basically kicked her out, and she's not used to domestic anything. So she asks Marisol, how does one go about ordering breakfast in here?
Well, she's a house guest.
She's a house guest, right, right.
And she thinks that she's going to be catered to yes. while she's there, and really she should go to the kitchen and pour herself a cup of coffee.
Oh, it's
or
just,
take herself out to Starbucks and yeah. get one there.
And then the other line where Marisol tells her she's going to have to get a job, how she executed that, where she was so genuinely offended that she would be told, and she says, that's one of the ugliest things that has ever been said to me. And you could feel that she really meant
it. She believes it as that character.
Wow.
You know, she hasn't ever known what it's like to have a job. And for those of you who have watched the entire series, at least this season, you find out that in terms of the growth of that character, she gets a job,
yeah.
and she learns from
yes.
what it's like to be in the workplace.
I was so proud of Rebecca. I mean, the character. I was so proud of her because she actually was doing a good job, right?
She was very good. She's smart, and, you know, she learned a new skill.
That's right. Now, watching, when we as an audience are watching a show like this, it just seems like it's written to direct itself. And I don't know if you understand that, but when something is done so well, a show, you don't even realize that there's people behind it that are actually making this happen. So my question is, as a director on a show such as this Devious Maids, what exactly does one do? Because how can a director make a scene stand out or pop, possibly, or be enhanced when it just is written so cleverly? What do you do as a director?
You get out of the way if they know exactly what they're doing. I always give advice to young directors. I say, if you're giving a suggestion or a direction to an actor and they start shaking their head yes, or they say, I got it, your next words out of your mouth as a director would be, good, and leave, and then let them try it. You don't want to talk them to death. You want them to practice what they do and let the magic happen and get out of their way. Now, that being said, you also want to create a very safe environment where they know they can try anything they need to, and that you will be grateful for their craft.
Do you find that working with actors such as Rebecca Wasacki and that level and caliber and Sandra Curry, do you find it's easier? This is kind of an asked and answered question,
you know,
but maybe not, than people who are just starting out who you see a spark that has talent?
It's two different skill sets. With one, you're trying to, you know, help them discover and then hopefully giving them tools so that they can do it again. But with someone as crafted as Rebecca, basically, you know, first of all, you learn from them as well.
Right.
And I've learned many things from really good actresses, and Sandra being one of them. And you just let them fly, and then the skill set is molding or suggesting or seeing what they might do with an idea. And then, again, you just, it's like taking a bird that already knows how to fly and go with it.
Right.
I have to tell you, for years and years and years, I wouldn't touch an audition or a job without hightailing it over to her house.
Mary Lou Ballard.
Yes.
Who does, do you still do private coaching?
You know,
I do
have time so much
actually
anymore.
I coached this morning.
You did?
Lucky person.
Yeah. You know, it's as time permits, and then I have very trusted people. I'm sure Sandra knows some of them as well, that if I'm not in town or I'm too busy directing, that other people I send them to. But, you know, your goal as a coach is to make people independent of you,
mm-hmm.
that you tell them, you suggest what they do, you let them practice it, you let them master it, And then because they own it by mastering it, hopefully the next time they have something that is similar to that come up, they know, oh, this is just like that, and I know how to do that, and I know I can.
I think also, though, she's a great collaborator, and that's part of the joy of working with a director, a coach, a friend,
right,
who really, you know one another, and you know what she can get you to do and how far she can push
right.
you. So the collaboration is really the great joy.
And what I think, personally speaking, just from watching her in the one class that I took, she's very methodical. And you got to know what works for your mind. Like she's, Mary Lou Belli is very methodical and she's detail-oriented. And she just has a clock within her where she knows about how much time to spend on what. And then depending on who she's working with in the class, she knows what to tell them of how to get them to make the adjustment. And that's just something I think that is a natural intuition. So I would highly recommend her class. Mm-hmm. Mary Lou Belli.
Thank you so much.
Like she probably was thinking but didn't say it. Don't ever try to go audition for something that has over more than one line.
No, thinking was you were a very good student. And I did push you because
you
that's
did.
My job.
Oh, you were. You were really, really such a good... I mean, for me, I was so honored to take a class for even to get in because I never thought I'd stand a chance in hell. But she knew that I wasn't an aspiring actress, but I wanted to take the class because my interest lies more in being a producer, how to work with the actors and maybe directing to know how to direct. So I was more focused on watching her, how she was directing the actors. But I actually got a little great tips for, you know, being an actor.
But I also think that because I was an actor first, you know, there's a great empathy for having walked in someone's shoes.
Mm, right.
And because I know it's a hard job, there's so much respect I have for good actors. I think acting is harder than directing. And I think that, you know, it just takes... Listen, I might be organized, but I don't jump off a cliff every day. Actors jump off cliffs. And the bravery of that craft is amazing.
I know.
Yeah. I want to shout out to Corsicana, Texas. It's Corsicana,
Texas. Oh, she
remembered.
For all 500 people in Corsicana, Texas. Mary Lou, real quick, I want to talk about your latest projects, which are Pitch and Famous in Love. Tell us about these two exciting
Famous
things.
Famous in Love is based on some YA novels by Rebecca Searle. They're wonderful, romantic. They're just lovely, and they've been developed with Rebecca by Marlene King, who you all know from Pretty Little Liars. It's a wonderful show. I just finished an episode, and I had a blast and a ridiculously gifted cast, and they happen to all be beautiful as well. And then Pitch I do for Fox, and that's going to be, I think, a real breakthrough show starring Kylie Bunbury, who is playing a female pitcher in Major League Baseball.
Fantastic. Oh, exciting. Real quick, your book, your latest second edition is out. Directors Tell the Story, Master of the Craft of Television and Film Directing. What do you feel, obviously, if you want to be a director, you'd buy this book, but what other people would be, it would be beneficial
I've
to?
I've had so many actors.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Sandra.
Oh, yeah. Actors. I just glanced at it. I mean, nuts are books or Bibles. But I think for actors need to look through the eyes of a director also. And just how she breaks down a script in there is great for actors, too.
So this is your second edition, and the way, if you just go on Amazon, they let you see a couple pages. Check out how she does the glossary words and how it's written, and she has key points. Oh, it's just a wonderful, wonderful book. And then follow it up with, I can't speak for Mary Lou, but you did speak about possibly having a director's class in the future. Is that still going to happen? And
yeah,
if so,
I know
when?
I've done it for different class. I helped out with the Warner Brothers directing program. I've taught at AFI directing workshop for women have asked us in. I'll be doing a special seminar for the Directors Guild, and I just, you know, I try to teach as much as time allows.
Yeah.
And I teach when I'm at USC, I'm teaching directing there as well.
Okay. And do you have any more acting classes coming up?
The way to get in touch with me is to go on my website and let me know which classes you're interested in.
Are they listed on the website?
Yep, and I will notify you when I'm teaching that next class in whatever city you're in.
Is that MaryLouBelli.com or the sitcom?
MaryLouBelli.com.
Okay, lastly, I want to talk about, to both of you, as you know, they just opened up a new category at the Emmys for web series. You now, as a matter of fact, I was producer on a web series called Carbon Dating, and it was nominated. Of course, I didn't get it, but it was nice to be nominated. Now I know what that feels like. But we were nominated.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
That's wonderful.
And Michael Gross is one of the actors from Family Ties. So now that category is open. Do you guys know anything about it as far as how one goes about creating a project to actually have a chance? Because from what I hear, they're only picking projects from like big studios that make web series. Is that true? This is what the actors are telling me. I don't know.
No, that's not true at all.
What do we know about it? We just
did the Emmy voting, and there were a lot of people I'd never even heard of who were nominated for actors.
Are you talking about for the web series?
On web series, okay. Yeah. They call it short form.
Right.
And depending on how long it is.
So they're not just picking the big studios that do web series.
No.
In fact, I think it's the biggest entry level for young entrepreneurial actors to find their way. And if they happen to be entrepreneurial SAG actors, you know, SAG has seminars, I think, once a month telling you about their ultra-low budget agreement. Mm-hmm. So they make it easy for you. And I have to say, if you're an actor, if you know, you can create your own class, but you can also create your own
product.
Exactly.
So to learn more about... I guess that means we're out of time.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, my darling.
Yes, so all of you individual producers, please, the web series is open for Emmys now. I would go to the Emmy website and learn more about it, because I know there's like a submission fee and then you have to pay per producer and director and all that. So there are fees involved. So go to the website and check it out. Mary Lou, Belli, thank you so much for coming today.
Always a pleasure.
Oh, my goodness. And Sandra Curry.
Oh, Priscilla, this was so fun. It was so fun to do with Mary Lou.
Yeah,
too,
you guys. I know you guys haven't seen each other in a while, huh?
Your show's like a party.
It is. Next time I'm bringing champagne.
I'll bring the champagne.
You bring the champagne. You'll probably bring something pre 2012. Oh. You bring the champagne. Check out Sandra's website, sandracurry.com, marylubelli.com, and they're both on IMDb, and look for their projects. But please check out Devious Maids and look up Sweeping with the Enemy and War on Greece. They are hysterical. And Sandra's movie will be coming out, Fat Ass Zombies! Gong! And you missed it. Now she's going to have to do the line again. Okay, so Sandra, you're going to be doing
Fat Ass Zombies.
Gone! Damn! All right, we're going to have Mary Lou do it. Okay, Mary Lou's going to go see Sandra Curry in
Fat Ass Zombies.
All right, now he came in prematurely. Okay, that's a man for you. Premature ejaculation. All right, sweeties, thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you next week on Question Reality. And say goodbye to your fans, Mary Lou.
Bye.
Say goodbye to your fans, Sandra Curry.
Goodbye, all you sweethearts.
Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.